Our text for today is St. John chapter 7 and verses 37 through 39. And on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believe in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. St. John, chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. I entitled this message, "Rivers of Living Water." Now, we all know what a river is, but I don't think we all understand the depth of the river. And my task today is to explain to you, based on the word of the Lord, the depth of the river. Thus, rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. The Feast of Tabernacle was the most popular feast according to the Jews. For that reason, it was simply known as the feast, as it is recorded in 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 20 in particular. It was also called the Feast of Inner Gathering in the book of Exodus, and the Feast of the Lord in the book of Leviticus chapter 23 and verses 39. The Feast of the Tabernacle was celebrated for 7 days. Each Jewish family built a small tent-like structure in their yard or upon some other property that was secure for the occasion. Then they would move out of their home into this particular structure, into this tent, for the 7 day period for the festival. The festival celebrated two significant events. The first thing that it represented and that it celebrated is historically account. It celebrated the day when Israel wandered in the wilderness without a place to call their own. The purpose for moving into the tent-like structure was to keep before their minds the wilderness and the wandering of their forefathers, as recorded in the book of Leviticus, chapter 23, and verses 40 through 43. Secondly, the feast was to be a period of thanksgiving for the completion of the harvest season and for the goodness of the rest of the season, and for the goodness of all the possessions and the things that life would so bring before them. The ceremony of the festival was very impressive. On each of the 7 days, the people came to the temple and they brought fruit as an offering, and as part of their custom, a few palm and willow branches. The branches were to be used to form a roof over the altar. Then the priest took a golden pitcher, and with that golden pitcher, he would lead the people in a processional down to the pool of Siloam, where he would fill the pitcher with water. And during this match, the people played the flute and sang what is called the Hillel, or some people say Hillel, which is Psalms 113 through Psalm 118. These particular psalms were used as songs of worship during this ceremony time. And in doing so, it was on the return march that this significant drama took place. As the pitcher of the water passed through the water gate, the people repeated in unison, "With joy shall we draw water out of the wells of salvation," as recorded in Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3. And when the pitcher reached the altar, the water was poured over the altar as an offering to God. While this was being done, the people waved palm branches and recited Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Psalms 118, verse 25. The idea of the processional was the dramatic one. A way to thank God for the rain, to offer prayer to God for more rain, and for a fruitful season in the coming years. It was a dramatic way for the people to acknowledge their need and dependence upon God. Because too often we come to a place where we depend on ourselves, or we put our hope in our money, we put our hope in our jobs, and we put our hope in our retirement. So we are no longer depending on the true and the living God. The water that gave them the fruit of the ground and the bounty of life. The text continues and it says, the last day of the feast was the most dramatic day. The people repeated the processional 7 times. And the scripture says the feast of the tabernacle will be celebrated and fulfilled in the end times, even when our Lord returns. To understand where Jesus is in this particular text, in the book of St. John, chapter 7, in these particular verses, in the midst of the Feast of Tabernacle, you must understand what is the Feast of Tabernacle. Otherwise, everything that is written there, it will have no real significance, lest it be used out of context. The feast will apparently symbolize our joy, our liberty, our victory through the wilderness. That is the wilderness experience of each and every one of us, our lives. We are not part of those who are in the wilderness during the 40 years. But we as Christians, we as pilgrims sojourning in this land, as we are called to be in the world but not off the world, there is a wilderness in each and every one of our lives. And when we come to the realization of who Jesus is, we come to a place of understanding that he has brought us out of our wilderness. Amen. Jesus began to make a claim. The claims of Jesus, it was on the last day. You know, I pondered this when I was going through the text. Why didn't Jesus make his claims on the first day? Remember, this ceremony is a 7-day event. But on the last day, on the very last day, it is called that last and great day of the feast. The day when the people march in the processional 7 times. On the other days, they didn't do it 7 times. But on this last day, Jesus made a phenomenal claim. Just as the people finished saying, send now prosperity, Jesus stands up, which was unusual. Because the thing about the custom of the Jewish people is that a teacher, he always sat to teach. But one of the things that he did is, he stood up. And I believe he stood up because of the multitude of people that was there. And then the other thing that Jesus did on this great last day, he began to cry out so that he may get the attention of the people. And they are busy. They are busy in their world. And in their world, there are probably many voices praying to God for the living rain in the coming season. And they are reciting, send now prosperity. In the midst of all of that, this piercing, thunder-like voice begin to speak. He says, if any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. It's kind of like having a healing revival. And then someone enters the auditorium where there's maybe 50,000 people. And then he walks down the aisle and then he stops and doesn't even come all the way to the front. And quite frankly, he's out of place. He's not on program. We don't even know who invited him to be there. And he stands up. And he says, any man or woman who desire healing, come now and come to me. Just imagine for a moment how any pastor will respond to this individual that is standing in the aisles, who is declaring to the people that has assembled themselves that they may now come. So when you understand, in contrast, what Jesus Christ is now doing in the midst of this very important ceremony, now you can see how out of place he is in respect to those individuals who are conducting, for what they know, the work of the Lord. Amen? So Jesus stands up and he cries. It is a voice that's been amplified by the Spirit of God so that the word of the Lord will not return void. He says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture had said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Jesus made three phenomenal claims in this text. The first thing he says here in this text is, Jesus Christ, he is the source of life. And then secondly, Jesus Christ, he is the source of the abundant life. So there's a difference within life itself. And Jesus Christ, he is the source of the Holy Spirit. So now he has disrupted this ceremony by his claims. He has single-handedly bring this ceremony to a halt. Jesus Christ is the source of life. He is the one who can quench the real thirst of man's being, who can meet the desperate need of man for prosperity, the real fruit and the bounty of life. The truth is, men do thirst. Women do thirst. They thirst for physical water and they thirst for spiritual life. Jesus Christ claims to be the source. That is, the water that came and can quench man's thirst. He stands up and make a declaration and declare that he can do what water does. Water can do three things. It can cleanse and purify, refresh, then it can revitalize and energize. Jesus is saying these are the things that he can do. He can do what water can do. Jesus Christ is the source of the abundant life. He is the rivers of living water that can flow out of a person. An abundance of life can be experienced when we come to this source. John 10:10 says that, that I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Saints of God, for too long, we've only been living life. We've only been alive. We need to come to the place where the rivers of water are, that we may now walk into John 10:10. And when we walk into John 10:10, we're going to discover that it is not just life, but there is also an abundant life. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him as a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Come to the place where the rivers of living water exist and be refreshed. Blessed are they which do thirst and hunger after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The word of the Lord is pure. It is live. It is true. As a result of the death of Christ, he is the source of living water. Because he was able to arise, he was able to conquer sin, death, and to bring forward eternal life in all its abundance to you and to me. Living water comes only through believing on Christ. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Jesus Christ is the source of the Holy Spirit. Rivers of living water refer to the Holy Spirit. This is a crucial verse that we find within this text. For it is the only place living water itself is defined. And Jesus Christ gives us the explanation. When Jesus speaks of giving living water, he meant he would give us the Holy Spirit. He's speaking to you that you may come to the river of living water to receive the Holy Spirit. The presence of the Holy Spirit, it meant the experience of the abundance life and the eternal life. This is what he's talking about. He's talking about placing his Spirit in you and placing his Spirit in me. The only person who believes in Christ who receives the Holy Spirit. If you don't believe, you won't receive the Holy Spirit. But if you believe, you will receive the Holy Spirit. Belief in him, it is essential to receiving. God says, those who come to him must believe that he exists. And those who diligently seek him, he said, he will reward them. Come to be refreshed. Come to be energized. Come to be revitalized. Come to the place of rivers of living water. And let him pour his Spirit into you. Jesus is the source of the Holy Spirit.
We'll be right back with the conclusion of today's Word of Promise with Pastor Othniel Cash.
Thank you for tuning in today. This coming Saturday at 5 p.m., you are invited to join Promised Land Ministries present Saturday Night Life, Real People. This is a presentation that deals with real issues we struggle with. Now playing is Baptism versus Filled with the Spirit. This is an opportunity to grow deeper in your faith and get understanding in being filled with the Spirit. And look forward to your visit at Promised Land Ministries.
Come join us for this free event this Saturday at 5 p.m. at Promised Land Ministries, located at 7230 Southland Park Drive, right here in Sacramento. And now the conclusion of today's Word of Promise with Pastor Othniel Cash.
As I ponder this message, I realize the importance of every heart coming to Christ, every mind being stayed on Jesus Christ. Three things I want to highlight for you. The Spirit that Jesus is referring to, it existed in the Old Testament. Not in person, but as the Lord pronounced it accordingly. But here we have an opportunity, saints of God, unlike any other. Because Jesus Christ has been glorified, these things have come about because of his glorification. He entered the world in all his fullness at Pentecost. We find that in Acts chapter 2. He entered the lives of the believers at conversion, and their bodies became, according to the word, the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Finally, he equips the believers with spiritual gifts. And these gifts are permanent. This message is to bring you to an understanding that God is concerned about you completely. Peter said that God has given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Let us accept both. Life now, godliness, which is the eternal life to come that we are now have access to through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's stand. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for your saving grace. Jesus Christ is the source of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus Christ is the source of the abundant life. And Jesus Christ is the source of life. And so, Father God, right now, we look to you from whence come our health and our strength. Our hope is in you. Some trust in chariots and others in horses, but we'll trust in the God of our salvation. We want our hope to be in you, Lord. So today, Lord, right where we are, right where we're standing, we offer up our hearts to you. Allow us to now come, Lord God, through Jesus Christ, to this place where the rivers of living water is now flowing. Allow your people to come and let them drink. Let them find themselves under this fountain. And there they will lose all their guilty stain. Have your way now, Lord God, in the hearts and the mind of your people. Right now, Lord Jesus, you begin to energize and you begin to revitalize right now. Lord, begin to refresh them. Pour your spirit upon them fresh right now, Lord Jesus. Just have your way. Just take a 10 seconds and just meditate on the Lord and the Spirit of Christ just refreshing you right now as he fills your heart once again, that it become a living spring, living waters right now. Jesus. Now, Lord, we thank you for these thy people. Father God, we pray that you would put your seal upon them. You will continue to keep them in the hollow of your hand. And Lord, they will not turn to the left nor to the right. Though they will continue to press forward, looking upward for their redemption draw near. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.